doing, Martin?
I'm not three bad. How are you?
Three bad?
Three bad, yeah. Sorry, that's something my dad says. They say you turn into your dad as you get older. Yes, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. What have you been up to?
Well...
Have we got champagne?
I haven't got champagne, no. I was going to get it on the way in because it's 99% there in that it's done. System's done. And I had a meeting yesterday afternoon with the customer number one. And the plan was to actually hand over the URL to him then, and then he can log in and get on with it. But at 4:45, the meeting was at 5:30, and at 4:45, I was still trying to fix a couple of server issues. So the code is deployed to the server, and it's effectively up and running, but I've just got to sort out a couple of issues on the server, which will be done today. So they'll get the URL later today. So
excellent.
So it's good, yeah, it's good. It's not. It was really annoying because I was thinking that I'd love to be able to say on a podcast today, I knew we were recording this morning, that it was done, you know, and they're actually using it, but that'll have to wait until this afternoon. So, but that, yeah, it's good. It's good to be
so
here.
So when are you billing them for the first time?
Well, that's not going to be... Well, this first week's going to be testing, so they're going to be working on it and then identifying any issues, and sort of we'll be tweaking it and fixing it. So I've budgeted a week for that. Hopefully that'll be enough. Maybe we need more, I don't know, but hopefully a week. And then they'll start using it, I guess, from the middle of October. So November, we'll be building them for November. I mean, they're happy with it. We spoke about it yesterday. So
you got to
start in November.
Rush and build the billing system. We're going to do it manually to start with.
There's so many things that I need to build.
Just do it manually to start with.
Well,
until it's like taking you more than, well, you only have to bill them once a month, don't you?
So
until it takes like a whole day or something like that to do billing, then you can wait.
Yeah, I can work around that. It's the last thing in my mind at the moment, to be honest with you. I have to say, it's, you know, they say that if you release the product and you're not embarrassed about it, then I passed that test. I'm so embarrassed about it. It's bloody awful. No, that's not true. It works and it does what they need it to do. But it's far from what I would say is a polished release. So there's so many things that I'm going to be doing manually to start with, which is fine. But even the stuff that they can do in the app, I cringe when I'm using it. It does what it's supposed to do, but it's cringeworthy. So there's still a hell of a lot to do. It's easy to forget how much that last bit, you know, of...
It's 80-20 rule, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, I've spent the last... Since we spoke on the podcast last, all the time I've been working, I've been full on. No, that's not true. There have been a few support issues and things I've been working on, so not full time, but pretty much whenever I've had time, I've been working on it evenings, a little bit of the weekends, by the developers working on it as well. It's just been mental how much just comes out of the woodwork when you say, right, are we ready to push the button now and release it? And they think, oh shit, no, we've got to do that. It's just frightening. It's hard to work out whether that's bad planning or whether it just always happens, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I deliver projects to clients. For 10 years, I've been delivering projects to clients, big clients, small clients, all sorts. So I know what it's about and how it works, but it seems every time it's always a bit like this, you know, there's always last minute stuff. But anyway, yeah, so it's good news. I've been doing that mainly, obviously, for the last 2 weeks. There's not a lot else been going on, really.
Well, that's what the podcast is supposed to be about. So that's what you're supposed to be working on.
Yes. Yeah,
so you can talk about that stuff, like your freelance, the contract stuff you can't talk about so much. However, how's the remote developers gone for the last 2 weeks?
Really good, yeah. There are a few frustrations for me in terms of I want them to be enthused and as, you know, as go for it as I am about it and spend all time they've got working on it, but of course they've got lives as well, so I can't really dictate that. So it's a little bit frustrating when they do just a day and then they sign off and say, right, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm like, but there's all this to do, you know.
Yeah,
but that's fair enough, you can't knock that, and that's part of the agreement we've got, blah. And also they had Eid came up for them last week, which was a day off as well, and they go back to their hometowns and stuff, so there's like a long weekend spent doing that, which again, you know, it's fine, but it's just a bit, makes you a bit itchy when you're sort of thinking about, oh, this to be done and they're not here. But yeah, they've been really good. And the last few days, they've been really top, actually, really working hard on it. So yeah. I'm very pleased with them.
So have you said you kind of want them to stay around as kind of a long term?
Yeah. Well, we haven't had that conversation actually about how long. The problem is that there's so much to do, so it's going to be at least until Christmas, I would have thought, that I'll keep
going. Do they know that's how long
they don't actually know. They know it's an ongoing process.
So perhaps they
would
be a bit more enthusiastic if they knew it was a long-term.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, really. I mean, they know that we've how much there is to do, and they know that they're doing it, so they can derive from that the fact that they're going to be on it for a while, but I should probably actually let them know. It's a good point, yeah. So it's kind of good, but it's that thing as well of when you hit a milestone and you think, so the next thing is now coming up. So there's no time to celebrate. You're kind of just thinking, right, so now I'll hand it over to them later on. So this weekend, I've now got to fix that issue that I know is there, because they're going to come across it. But no, it feels good. It feels good to get here.
So any progress with the marketing side of things?
Not really, no. So I don't know if I've mentioned before, but I have an apprentice one day a week now. Well, I say one day, she's about 6 hours, so a week. And she's sort of, she's doing a digital marketing course at college, and so she's very much learning it, but she runs her own blog and stuff, so she's familiar with the whole blogging and tweeting and all the rest of it. So I met with her on Wednesday, and we've sort of come up with a basic sort of plan, basically try and build an email list, you know. So she's gone away, and she's starting to do some research around that. I think it'll take a while for her to get up to speed, but
yep.
So that's the only thing really I've done on that side of things.
Excellent.
So hopefully things will start to get better, but I think there's still a lot of work to do for a little while. How about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I think when I look back on this period of my life, last 2 or 3 months. Well, perhaps at the end of the year, when I look back on the year and perhaps read through the journals and stuff, it's going to be my period of side projects, I think.
Yeah.
Because that's what I've...
Have you started another one?
Working on. Well, kind of, yeah. I think I was working on it last time we spoke, but I don't think I mentioned it. Well, no, I did. Well, it's the kind of trading stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
I'll come on to that
yeah.
in a minute. But the three good books is still, like, I guess, the side project that's got any kind of little bit of traction. And so it's still, well, the main problem... It's me talking about the same stuff again, is frustrations around Google, because the site's still not being returned, in the pages aren't in the Google results index at all.
Oh, right.
So Google's hitting the site, it's indexing the pages and stuff. You can see that in Google Webmaster Tools, but just none of the pages are being returned in search results or contained in search results.
Wow.
And it's so frustrating, I don't know why. It's an old domain, so someone had it before me.
Yeah.
But I've done a check on the backlinks to the site, and doesn't seem to be. It's not like it's been banned from the index or anything like that previously. It's not like it's disallowing everything in robots.txt. It should be able to crawl everything, because you get warnings in Webmaster Tools if that was the case anyway. And so I don't know whether it's the case that Google or this relates to another site, are in the middle of rolling out updates, so aren't adding new sites or new pages in. I don't know, but.
That would be crazy. They'd have to carry on doing that, wouldn't they?
I mean, you think so, but it's been like weeks now. I can't think of any other reason why.
And you've had links.
No technical reason from my point of view, as far as I know from the site.
Yeah,
I've linked to the site from my own personal blog. We linked from the Britstrap website.
Yeah, and I've seen tweets going out with...
It's had lots of tweets, which won't necessarily increase rankings. They're no follow links. So they won't. That wouldn't lead to it being indexed in the first place. But Google is hitting the site, so it doesn't know that the site's there. It's just not adding the pages into the search results, which is odd.
It's odd, yeah.
Odd. But from sending out the emails to people and getting quite a good response rate, so I get about a 70% response rate, I think.
That's really good, isn't
which
it?
Which from cold emails isn't... it's quite a good thing.
Yeah.
And so about 2 weeks ago, I think I started adding... Because I wasn't sure whether to or not, because they weren't on there in the first place, but adding like... buy or look at Amazon, look at the book on Amazon, buy the book from Amazon type thing.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see now I've started adding those on, whether that's stops people from actually sending their books over.
Right.
Because people are thinking, well, he's just trying to do this as a money generation type thing.
Okay, yeah.
But as anyone knows who does Amazon affiliate stuff, the amount of money you'll generate from selling a book or two is pitiful anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so I started adding those in. And it's funny because... it's actually sold a couple of books.
Oh, cool.
So that's good. From I would say hundreds of page views, there's only probably been about 20 clicks on the buy from Amazon links. So it doesn't generate that many links anyway.
Yeah.
And so it took a couple of weeks. But the funny it is funny. The first book, so there's one been sold on Amazon.co.uk and one been sold on Amazon.com.
Okay.
So the .com one is quite a sensible one. It's essentialism. which is a book a couple of people have recommended.
Yeah.
But obviously, on the way the affiliate stuff on Amazon.com works, or .co.uk and .com works, if you click on the link, but then you don't buy that thing, but you continue to browse around and buy something else,
yeah,
it will still, you'll still get the affiliate get the report of what they bought.
Oh, okay.
And so someone, it sounds dodgy to start with, someone bought this book called Cabin Porn.
Oh, right.
And I saw the link in my this report. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not sure if I want to even click on the link on that. like to see it on amazon.co.uk because it might start thinking I want to look at these odd porn books and stuff.
Start getting retargeted for things you don't want to be retargeted
for. Yeah, exactly, yeah. But it's actually quite a good book, and it's about people who build their own little sheds down the bottom of the garden, their own cabins, like this, like we're sitting in now, and like making them nice spaces and stuff.
Brilliant.
And so it's actually like quite a nice looking book. Yeah, I'll put the link to it in the show notes. But yeah, if you want to admit to buying that cabin porn book, then it could be Ed, actually. That's the funny thing.
It could have been, yeah.
Because Ed's
yeah.
got his own shed down the bottom of the garden, hasn't he? So
that's really funny, excellent.
That's funny. So at the moment, though, I'm holding off sending out emails asking for new contributions until Google starts returning the site in its search results.
Right.
Because it's good, and although... Like when I put a page up, I'll send an email back to the original person and say, you know, do you fancy giving it a tweet out? And most people do. And that leads to like, you know, 20 to 30 visits, but that's not going to generate much traffic at all. And so I need to see if the site, once the site does get, start being returned in search results, whether that will lead to much traffic or not.
Isn't there some logic in carrying on publishing pages though? Because doesn't Google like that if you completely...
Yeah, but there's enough there that it should at least be starting to...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I might ask a couple of other people to have a look at it, see if perhaps there isn't, I've missed something non-obvious or even obvious. But in terms of being a side project and fulfilling my own need, it has done that because there are a number of book recommendations, as well as Cabin Porn, which was my direct recommendation, which I may well take a look at. And one I want to mention is a book Justin McGill recommended called Launch by Jeff Walker.
Oh, right.
And it seems funny because actually, Amazon had recommended it to me a couple of other times from my previous purchases, but I thought it looked like a bit of a spammy, get-rich-quick type book.
Oh, okay.
Which, after reading, you may well think it still is. So Jeff Walker was a chap in the 90s who started doing... Do you know who he is? You're nodding.
I followed him a bit, actually.
Do you? Yeah. Oh, interesting.
The whole internet marketing thing, I've heard of a few of them.
And so doing the pre-launch, the launch,
the product
and then
launch formula,
the scarcity of the thing. That's it, Project Launch Formula.
Product Launch Formula.
And so when you were, because the interesting thing, having read the book, and I've seen people who followed this launch formula, but I didn't know what it's called. I didn't know the original guy who did it. Like the 30x500 stuff, they did that to a T, didn't they?
Yeah, it's the same.
And there's
sort of
so
thing.
Many people, I reckon they've read the book because there's so many other people like Ramit Sethi and so on. Nathan Barry, who write these information products that do this formula.
Yeah.
And Amy Hoy and whatever are teaching this, as they're labeling it as their own course, aren't they? 30x500.
Yeah, yeah. They do their
Although
own
they're
take
teaching
on it,
exactly the same thing, aren't they? The only thing they have different is the sales safari, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the interesting. But I think Amy Hoy used to work for some of these people, or with them.
Right.
In the early days. Oh, I think I'm sure I've read somewhere that she mentioned that she'd used to work with one of the big names of internet marketing people.
So I highly suggest recommend getting that reading Launch, because it is interesting just to see the tactics everyone else using. You can kind of see through their marketing tactics.
Yeah.
And a part of me is thinking, well, I might just give it a go and do one myself to see if it does work.
I think with those things, because I followed, like years ago, I followed a lot of them. I think before I met you, there's a guy called Ed Dale who did a thing called the 30-Day Challenge.
Yep.
And that was based on all this sort of stuff as well. It was about... so that was about the proving there's an audience there about... God, this was years ago. And what you did was you basically set up a blog site. You did your keyword research, found your niche, set up a blog site around that niche. And in those days, you'd get indexed within days. Mm. And because it was a direct keyword match, it would be in the top 10 of Google. And you'd sell like an affiliate product, like an Amazon product or something around that. And the idea was that you would have... It was relatively easy to get into the top 10 in Google then, because you'd set up sites on Squidoo and all sorts of places linking back, and so within a week you'd be in the top 10 for that keyword. And then you'd know the sort of traffic to expect, you'd have the affiliate product on there, and you could work out how many people that visited bought the affiliate product, and that would tell you whether the market was a market that bought So, you know, you've got a niche, you're in the top 10, and you've proved that the people finding you through Google will buy something. So then you have to build your product, which would usually be an ebook or something, and then sell it. That was the, in a nutshell, that was kind of the formula that that 30-day challenge thing was. And I tried it a few times, but I never got anywhere with it because of this whole thing of, do I really want to do this? You know, and you know, you should just really push through it and just do it and see what happens. But I never got over that, and I never actually got anywhere with it.
Yeah. So one reason I'm thinking of doing it is around, because every now and again I get people, well, I'm sure you do as well, email over saying they want to set up a website, you know, can you build it for us? And we go back and say, you know, we can do it for like, I don't know, between X and Y. It's not a huge amount of money, is it? And it's almost like such a small amount of money that it's not worth our time of dealing with the hassle of actually doing it.
Yeah.
But if we can put, if I was thinking I'd put together a 10 module course of actually doing it and, you know, sell it for X amount, because it is just simple things like, you know, how do you pick a good domain name and recommend the tools that we use for like lean domain search for finding a good domain name, using Fiverr to come up with a logo if you don't have a logo yet. Once you've registered your domain name, go on to WP Engine and for some WordPress hosting, where to go to look for a good theme. Adding Google Analytics, adding webmaster tools,
but you've those things. Already you're adding up quite a lot of stuff.
But that's why it's a course.
Yeah.
Like 10 modules, I guess.
Yeah.
I just going through all the different things you do need to do that we know to do, but Joe Bloggs, who's setting up a dog walking business.
And it's not just that they don't know to do that, it's that they've got no clue on how to do it. You know, a lot of small businesses, we've said it before on here, that the majority of small businesses are just people that know their business, but they don't know all this stuff, and so then they may not even be that technical in terms of using the computer. So then telling them
video walkthroughs are good.
I think you're definitely onto something. I think that would do well. The problem with it is that there probably are lots of them out there already. It's probably quite competitive. But yeah, I think the amount of time I talk to people that have got exactly these problems, and you say things to them that you just think is a very basic thing, and they're like, "What? I don't know what that is. Can you explain that?" You know. It's difficult.
I put together like a 10 module thing, whether I follow through with it or not, I don't know.
I'd do it. I mean, I think there's definitely a market for it. It's just I suppose you have to do the research and work out how you'd reach them and whether they'd actually pay the money.
Well, so because another thing that's interesting, well, because we've got the Voucher Codes Pro site is all about people that want to save money.
Yeah.
And we've got an email list that we send vouchers to out, like the best vouchers on the site every few days. And so we could just write a bit of an email saying, look, we've always tried to save you money, but how about if you're interested in making more money and, you know, you want to start your own business. So in theory, there's almost an email list that we've got that we could send things out to.
I think in my mind that a lot of small businesses, they kind of say you should treat them like consumers, really, in that if it's like a one person working from the bedroom sort of business. And in that respect, I think they're very price sensitive. So if you said to somebody, I'll build you the basics of the website and then you have to put in the content for £100, they'd probably say yes. If you said to them, I'll give you a course so that you'll learn how to do it yourself for £100, they'd probably say no. Because it involves investing their time as well.
There's probably two groups of people, isn't there? There's one group that will say yes, they'll do it, and the other group that say no, they won't. And you only want the people that say yes, I guess.
You can't
sell to everyone, can you?
Exactly, but you're right.
I only thought of that as you were saying it.
It's a niche within a niche, isn't it? Yeah. It's kind of like the people that are willing to go away and do it rather than actually pay someone to do it, yeah. Yeah, that's a funny one.
Because you're the type of person who always do something yourself, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Whereas I'm the type of person who... I'd say lazy. Pay someone to do it.
I'm getting better at that, but yeah, in general, I am somebody who would just go off and do it myself rather than.
Yeah. Anyway, so launch. If you're interested in that kind of stuff, or if you just want to understand the tactics and the approach that people take and the psychology of the mental triggers that they use, I'd recommend reading it.
Cool.
Sounds good. You got anything else you want to talk about? I've got loads of stuff still, but...
I've got bits and bobs. One of the things that happened, so last week, I've been heads down, working long hours and stuff on this, trying to get this ready for the customer number one. And I think it was Tuesday morning, whatever, one day this week, I got an email from one of the associations I'm a member of around the kids club stuff. And in the email was, oh, we've just launched this product with this company and it is exactly what I'm building.
Right.
So my heart sank because one of my tactics was going to be to try and get involved with this organisation and advertise with them at the very least, whatever. And it turns out what they've done is there's a company that does booking processes, sort of, that's what they do. And they've teamed up with them to produce a product, which I went through. I haven't looked at it in any detail other than look at the feature list. And the feature list is exactly what my feature list is, pretty much. Now, I know at first, because I was a bit stressed out and a bit sort of overworked and a bit tired, and my heart sank, and I had to go for a walk for 10 minutes because I was like, oh shit, what am I doing this for, you know? And it was horrible, really. But then 10 minutes later, I just thought, well, it's a good thing. I mean, it's a bad thing in that one of my marketing channels is probably now gone, because even if I can build a relationship, it's unlikely they'd want to promote something that they're not involved with over something they're involved with. But we'll see. But the good thing is, you know, it proves that somebody else thinks there's a market out there.
Mm.
And I'm fairly sure that, you know, if I can get some momentum, I can build something that'd be better than theirs. And therefore, you know, it's a positive thing as well as a slightly negative thing. But it punches you in the guts when you.
Why do you think that marketing channel's closed, though?
Well, this is one association that are obviously associated with this product. Therefore, they're promoting it, you know. So there's no, I mean, I guess they could promote my product as well.
I was going to say, sure, they haven't just sponsored something that next month they'll talk about you instead of
the wording of the announcement was "we've worked with" sort of thing, rather than they're here and they want to sell it to you. It's worded very much as if we've worked with them to produce this. Therefore, you know, I'm guessing they're getting some sort of kickback from it. But you know,
from one point of view, I'd say, well, that sounds like a complicated partnership. Anyway, rather than, you know, you just listen to the having direct contact with the customers and building what the customers want.
Yeah.
So that partnership could always break down.
Absolutely, yeah. I think, I mean, it's frustrating because I was hoping that would be a route to some decent customers fairly quickly, because most of the people I spoke to know about this organisation are members of it and go there regularly. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'll just have to try hard on something else and maybe do a few more cold calls to get the first batch of customers. Mm. But yeah, it's encouraging. Someone else thinks there's a market.
Yeah, I see it as a positive thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Damn frustrating when it first started. There you go.
Yeah, I can imagine, when you're tired and stuff like that, it does seem like, well, at the end of the world, doesn't it, I guess. But once you sit back on it and have a think.
Yeah, I think it's not the end of the world at all. Just and if anything, it gives you a bit of a challenge, someone to aim to beat.
Exactly.
So that's quite good as well. Yeah.
Cool. So with the VoucherCodes Pro, I'll give a quick update on that. We're still waiting for Panda to roll out. So Gary, how do we say his surname was? I can't remember now.
Illis.
Gary Illis. He's a Google chap. Who's kind of, there's a few that have taken over from Matt Cutts since Matt Cutts has gone on his never-ending sabbatical as being head of
SEO. Is that what
SEO
he's doing?
Spam
is
team. Yeah, I don't know. He's
I saw some of his tweets were very much like recommending books and doing this and doing that, and it didn't sound like he was getting much.
I think initially he was going on a 3-month sabbatical, and he's kind of extended that to forever.
Right.
Don't know. But this chap Gary is kind of one of the people who've taken on the mantle of being the spokespeople of the web spam team, I guess, from Google. And so he was at a conference talking yesterday, and someone was tweeting out what he was saying, and he's saying that Panda is still rolling out. It's still going to be rolling out for another few months at least. So we're still in the same situation where we're waiting for to be either released from this penalty that we think we got or still under. So still in a state of limbo, really, with VoucherCodes Pro.
God, it's awful, isn't it?
And they've not run any Penguin updates since about this time last year either, so, you know, spammy sites that have been buying links or just flooding themselves with links have been able to gain rankings and stuff. But the interesting news they said was, or another tweet that came out of his presentation, was that they're looking at doing an update at Penguin at the end of the year, and hopefully by then there'll be a stage where it can be almost a continual running of Penguin.
Right.
So hopefully that will catch sites that are spamming the index a lot quicker.
Oh, that's good.
That's where we are with VoucherCodes Pro, really.
Yeah.
We should be, I mean, in terms of traffic and sales and stuff, we should be getting a natural increase now from getting close to Christmas time. So we have to kind of keep an eye on our rankings rather than just traffic and sales to see whether we've kind of, there's been any Panda update on our
site. I can't believe it's October already. You said the Christmas word then, and I was like,
I know.
It's two months away, isn't it?
Well, I mean, we were talking about Christmas from a work perspective like probably 2 or 3 months ago, because people are looking at booking in advertising and stuff like that. God,
it's never ending.
Yeah. And so next kind of side project that I've been working on.
Oh yeah.
So I've been talking about doing a trading stuff and algorithmic trading or assisted trading systems for a while.
Yeah.
And so I bought a domain name for it. tradingforfun.com.
Okay.
And so the idea is like the logo or the kind of title of the site will be Trading for Fun, and then in brackets, and hopefully for profit. So a couple of weeks ago, I was at the stage where I'd got one indicator, the moving average indicator, all coded up and working just for my purposes. And so I've been looking at, I'm going to work on another indicator today. And so there's two kind of aspects to the site that I'm going to put up. In one, that you can sign up and get alerts for if a certain indicator is flagged up as a buy or sell signal.
Right.
So an email alert.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, you know, kind of blog posts about how to code up the indicators themselves and perhaps open source the code as well, because
okay.
I've kind of really hacked together some of the code as well.
Yeah.
And I know it can probably be written a lot more better, as, you know, from a performance standpoint of view. And
right.
Elegantly, I guess, is the right word. So I'm hoping perhaps from doing that I'll get a bit of feedback on that.
So you've got you don't mind putting out your dodgy code for other people to see, knowing that you've hacked some of it together.
Well, I've never done it before, so I used to do it with SharePoint and stuff, actually. I used to write the blog post, but I never really open sourced like a whole massive project. It was more of like, if you want to do this little thing, here's the code to do it.
Yeah.
And I would always put a little disclaimer saying, you know, I'm not the best coder in the world, I'm more of a hacker. So if you can improve on this, then let me know.
Yeah, because that would be my fear about like this sort of thing is I'd spend weeks making sure the code was perfect and before putting it out, and then it would never happen, basically. Yeah.
So, but there's an interesting interview that was on Mixergy from Matthew Paulson, whose site called MarketBeat.
Okay.
And he basically auto-generates a load of content. So a lot of the market analyst reports that come out and news from on the London Stock Exchange about director purchases and stuff like that, he's got code that market that auto generates kind of content based around that.
Wow.
And makes money through services that he sells, and then he also has advertised on his site. He does this interesting thing called co-registration as well, which I think is more of an American thing at the moment. But when someone registers on his site, he then takes them to another page that says, as you've registered for my site, you might also be interested in these types of things. Which is what Andrew Warner's site, you know, his card, e-card thing, originally did that made his money. And you can generate like $2 to $3 per co-registration, apparently.
Wow.
So yeah, we'll have the link to...
I'd hate that, though.
Why is that?
I don't think I'd like having that force-fed to me. I suppose if you do it...
Don't worry if you don't want to sign up for it.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
And in theory, you pick like, so MarketBeat, you sign up for his site, and it says, well, you might be interested in these free trading reports. Which you sign up for, so you do get something in return.
Yeah, yeah. But, I guess if you're interested in the topic in general, then you'd probably give it a go. Yeah.
But anyway, that thing was in his interview is interesting. So it'd be worth listening to.
Yeah, I might have listened to that myself.
That's it for me, apart from stuff.
Cool. Okay. I mean, I've got a bit of stuff, so I'll just
Go for it.
Give you a voice a break. One of the things. So the reason that the site's not live yet is because of just server-based issues, and I've deployed it to... I'm using Amazon Web Services, so it's EC2 instance. And setting up the whole Amazon stuff is... You know, I just want a server. You know, that's what you say. And it's like all this stuff you have to jump through and all these names that you have to learn and work out what they are, and it's so baffling and confusing. Well, to me it was anyway. And I remembered a while ago I saw somebody tweet, and I'm sorry I can't remember who it was, an article by Expedited SSL.
Right.
AWS Demystified, it's called, or AWS in plain English, I think is the actual title of the article. And it's brilliant because it basically goes through all the different things that Amazon have got and what the Amazon called them, and then like what it should have been called, you know, so you can actually understand what all these different services are. So I'll stick a link to that in the show notes, because if anyone else is interested in Amazon Web Service stuff.
Yep.
Then this will probably help you more than the Amazon documentation will in terms of working out what things are what. So I'll put that in there.
Very good. I went mountain biking yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Just to mention this stuff. Yeah, I was just going to say I went mountain biking. It was good fun. But But I rented a bike. So I went down to Swinley Forest, which is just the other side of Bracknell.
Right.
And rented a bike. And this just made me think, actually, more of the renting economy, you know, rather than the owning economy. So there's some people now in America that don't own a car and they'd get Ubers everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I was just thinking now about, you know, because about 2 months ago, I was thinking about buying a mountain bike. But then I was thinking, well, where, I've got to store it somewhere then. I've already got two bikes in the outhouse bit, because one's a road bike and one's Sophie's bike. Where am I going to put it? Now I'm thinking, like, well, I don't need to own a bike. I'll just go to Forest and Redmond. And it works out at like 700 quid a year, which is probably... that's quite high for a mountain bike, actually. But then you don't have to worry about new tyres, looking after it, maintaining it, running. I can just turn up. Perhaps that's a better idea.
It's interesting. Anyway. It's quite expensive, though, that, isn't it?
What, the rental side of it?
Yeah. But, I mean, you're right about the maintenance, but I never maintain bikes anyway. Just spray them with oil every now and again, that's it.
Well, there you go. Well,
I suppose tyres need new tyres when they run out. But
yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think there's a lot to be said about this renting stuff. It's also the clutter as well.
Well, yeah,
we've got a garage at home, and the car's never been in it because it's full of stuff, you know, and it's just so irritating. Like I say, bikes, we've got about six bikes in there. Some of them that never ever
get used. Three of you in a house.
Well, what it is Silvana's kept her bikes from when she was a kid. So Lois's bike now was Silvana's when Silvana was a kid.
Blimey.
Because her mum and dad kept it in their garage. Yeah, well, they kept it in their garage, and then we went around there, you know, few years ago, I said, oh, that'll fit Lois now. And so Lois was on it, and it's just crazy. You're right, it's just need to get rid of them. But I mean, this is the problem with me in many ways, is, you know, if it still works, I don't want to get rid of it, you know. But
yeah, but
I,
you can give it away to someone.
Gumtree it or something like that.
Like, I've been putting stuff outside the house with a little, like I have today, a little sign on it saying free to a good home.
Right.
And it's amazing what people will take away.
And it goes quickly, does it?
Right, the same day, yeah. Like, I put an ironing board out there today, because we never iron anything anymore. Like, never. And you can buy those little mini ironing boards.
You must iron something.
No, nope. Don't.
You never have to wear a shirt then?
No. Nope.
Okay.
And the shirts I bought are non-iron shirts, like the white ones.
Brilliant.
Which every shirt should be non-iron, right? But even when I do want to iron a shirt, so like I've got a couple of Crew clothing shirts. So when you buy it, when you look at them in the shop, they look all nice and lovely. And you buy them from the shop, I wear them once. But I never check, and they're like those, is it 100% cotton ones?
Right.
They're a real pain in the ass to iron. So I never end up wearing them again. So I've got like two shirts that I bought and worn once. I'm never going to wear again.
Perhaps what you should do is hire the ironing lady or something. And there you go, rent out your ironing.
Yeah, maybe. but anyway, so give stuff away. Just put those bikes outside.
Yeah, you're right, we should do. We talk about that
all
the time.
If you live in a cul-de-sac, that's a problem.
Yeah, they're all drive past. We talk about it all the time. We should do something about it. It's just getting the energy to actually go through it all.
I'm trying to think of the stuff we put outside our house. Ironing boards. I put some old, like, wooden golf clubs out there once that they've been in the shed for ages. I don't even know how we had them, but they got taken away. Crazy. Anyway, another good thing. Scott Adams' interview on the Tim Ferriss podcast.
Oh, right.
Really good. So the cartoonist behind Dilbert and stuff. Really, really good. I could listen to him talk all day.
He did an interview a couple of years ago, didn't he? On
Scott Hanselman.
Was it? Yeah.
If you listened to that one, yeah.
Yeah, he was good.
That was good. He talks about all kinds of stuff, not just drawing cartoons. But so listen to that. And then I was going to mention about Audit Shark.
Oh, yes.
Being wiped off the planet or being stopped.
That.
But this is the podcast talking about the podcast.
Right.
That's what we're doing now. But if you listen to Bootstrap with Kids, where Scott Yule has basically started building Audit Shark.
Yeah, yeah.
New project.
Well, it's an existing thing, isn't it? Which he's now involved with. Yeah, it's quite funny.
But I was listening to that when I was walking along, and I was like thinking in my head, this is exactly what Audit Shark was.
Yeah.
And then Breck Palumbo basically just said, you're basically building what Audit Shark was. And
Octavia's
just stopped.
He sort of, so Scott said it's not the same thing, is it? But it sounds, to the untrained ear, it sounds the same, yeah. Be interesting to see how it goes, but they've already got customers on that, which I think is a slight difference.
Yeah.
The thing that got me was the building it again thing rather than marketing it again. I mean, I'm guilty. That's the sort of thing I'd do. But he's talking about rebuilding it or certainly redeveloping parts of it. And so I think Breck was giving him a hard time, saying, you know, well, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Why don't you just try and get customers for what the new thing will be, and then rebuild it? But it's only like a month's work or something.
It's a different approach, isn't it, from a salesperson?
Yeah,
which is what Breck's background was, I think, more than a developer person, or a business person, I would say, from a developer.
And there's the mentality thing of whether, you know, selling something that you don't have is, I don't know what the right word is, it's not morals, but you know, there's a kind of thing about people that, it's kind of quite, I find it quite a hard thing to do, to sell something that isn't in existence yet, because yeah. I feel bad that I'm trying to sell something to somebody that you know, it's just smoke and mirrors kind of thing, you know, rather than actually.
Well, this comes back to the launch book, right? And so yeah. part of the idea of that is that you can, so there's the pre-launch, the pre-pre-launch, the pre-launch, and then the launch, and then you deliver whatever you've done. And you know, then in theory, you can do the pre-pre-launch, pre-launch, and launch, and see how many people actually buy it before you actually go and record the 10 modules of webinars and stuff.
Mm.
So again, there's that thing of like,
yeah,
having a bottle of selling something that doesn't actually exist yeah. yet.
And you have to know that you can do the good quality thing.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, I think there's a lot going on there in terms of psychology and the way people are wired, you know. But yeah, it's interesting. It'd be interesting to see how they get on. I think I think you'll look back and probably regret having done the rebuilding bit now. But who knows? Because they've already got customers. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the difference. I think.
Yeah.
It might work out pretty well for them. Hope so. Anyway.
Anything else?
No.
We've waffled on for long enough.
I think we have.
Right. See you in a couple of weeks.
Yep. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.